Live event coverage on RadioSt.Pete.com from the St. Petersburg Yacht Club, the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon, our speaker, Mayor Rick Kreisman. Introducing Mayor Kreisman today is Pinellas County Commissioner and Vice President of the Tiger Bay Club, Janet Long.
Okay. Rick Kreisman is now the 53rd mayor of St. Petersburg. His journey into public service started with his appointment to the St. Petersburg City Council in 2000. He was reelected twice before he decided to spread his wings and run for the state legislature. Now, we all know that our beloved mayor enjoys a remarkable sense of humor, and so it was no surprise to those of us who served with him that he would make his presence known as a member of the minority party in the Florida House. In his desire to get along and collaborate with his Republican colleagues, our mayor decided that he would participate in the annual Republicans Against the Democrats softball game. When it was his turn at bat, oh wow, he hit a home run. And as he clears first base, he stumbles. He falls flat on his face and proceeds to break his leg. Now, for those of you who have walked the halls of our state capitol, you know it's no easy task under the best of circumstances. Imagine doing that the entire legislative session in a wheelchair. Oh, no, not our little Ricky. He was not to be deterred. Everyone felt so sorry for him. He managed to be incredibly successful that particular session in spite of his handicap. Mayor Kreisman did serve with distinction for 3 terms before he decided to come back to Pinellas County and run for mayor of the 4th largest city in the state of Florida. Now, our mayor made a lot of promises during the campaign, and I'm not suggesting by any means that he volunteer to play ball with the Rays and break his legs to get that deal done, but Mayor, tell us what the plan is. Our Tigers want to know. Will we have baseball in St. Petersburg, Pinellas County, or the region? That was a pretty gutsy move you did, hiring the new police chief right out from under the city of Clearwater. Tell us how he's doing, Mayor. Our Tigers want to know. Will there ever be a design for that pier that everyone likes? How many task forces will we need to build a consensus? Will you implement the same strategy as the hiring of the police chief and just make a decision? Or might there be a secret plan to construct the 8th wonder of the world? Tell us, Mayor. The Tiger's Den wants to know. Red light cameras are gone. Recycling is coming to town. EMS with the county has been settled thanks to your leadership and the goodwill in county government. These days, everyone is getting along. Oh, my goodness, how could that be? Surely you can stir up something. What's next? We like having you here. But tell us, Tigers want to know, Lieutenant Governor with Bob Buckhorn, or maybe annexing Tampa, U.S. Senate race, Congress, Ambassador to Cuba. Tigers, please join me in a warm Tiger Bay welcome for my dear friend and former colleague, Mayor Kreisman.
Good afternoon, Tigers. Well, let me first state, I did not know my daughter was going to be here, but I'm glad she is because my daughter's here, so be nice. you notice I didn't bring the dog. I didn't want to go to make it that easy, but thank you again for having me. Thank you, Commissioner Long, for that introduction, and thank you for all that you do for the people of Pinellas County. It's always nice to be here and see so many friendly and mostly friendly faces. The last time I was here, we were just getting started. And I may be a little biased, but I think we've had a really great first year in office, and I'm looking forward to making 2015 even better and brighter. I'm looking forward to taking your questions, and I want to take a lot of them, so I'm not going to speak for the full allotted time, but first, I did want to take a couple minutes to reflect on our progress to date and to talk a little bit about our future, a future that does include a new pier. Just a little over a year ago, I stood on the steps of City Hall and announced that the fence around the pier was coming down to make way not just for pedestrians, cyclists, and fishermen, but for progress. I want to again thank the members of our citizen-led working group and selection team for their service to our city and for helping to get us to this point, a crucial point in this process. And now it's time for the citizens to be heard. Our non-binding public vote or survey will begin on February 23rd. You'll be seeing and hearing a lot more about this soon, and I can't stress to you how important it is that people take part in it, because this is it, folks. We're going to get it done, so if you don't weigh in on this one, you're going to miss your chance. I also want to encourage you to take part in the Waterfront Master Plan. You have an opportunity to talk and weigh in about the future of our downtown waterfront for the next 50 years. Please don't waste that opportunity. In addition to kickstarting a new pier process, 2014 was marked by progress on a number of issues. And the progress we made was due in part to the establishment of a vision for St. Petersburg. Not just words on a page, but a real vision, a mission that guides our work. And before I mention it, I want to thank my deputy mayor, Dr. Kanika Tomlin, for her efforts and hard work in bringing that to vision forward. This vision that St. Petersburg will be a city of opportunity where the sun shines on all who come to live, work, and play, we will be an innovative, creative, and competitive community that honors our past while pursuing our future. It's rooted in our shared values. Things like servant leadership, empowerment, celebration of diversity, inclusive practices, and responsiveness. And so our work and our accomplishments reflect these values and others. I know in this crowd that you all follow the news, and so you're familiar with many of the accomplishments, but in no particular order, I do want to highlight a few of them that make me really proud. Like the deal we reached with Pinellas County leaders, leaders like Janet Long and Ken Welch. And now, Commissioner Gerard, regarding funding and deployment of our emergency medical services, like universal curbside recycling, finally. Like the positive changes at the St. Petersburg Police Department, including Chief Holloway's community building initiative called Park, Walk, and Talk. Like revamping our Mayor's Action Center and introducing new technologies to better serve our residents. Like all the work Mike Dove and our Neighborhood Affairs Administration has done to bring St. Petersburg's neighborhoods back to life. We are rehabbing homes, demolishing others in record numbers, partnering with the private sector, and stepping up our code enforcement. And like all the things that we've done inside City Hall for our employees, in order to set an example for other employers, such as raising our minimum wage and extending paid parental leave to new parents, moms and dads. Like recognizing and celebrating our LGBT community through words and deeds. Like rededicating ourselves to South St. Petersburg. Like helping small businesses succeed. Deputy Mayor Tomlin and I began a series of successful small business tours throughout the city. These tours are about listening to the concerns of business owners in our city and working with them to eliminate red tape. A concrete example of that, just last month, City Council approved a change to an ordinance which had stated that any business that served food had to have a grease trap, even ones that didn't produce any grease. Made no sense, and we changed it. Like raising St. Pete's profile through engagement on issues of sea level rise and gun violence. And finally, we submitted a fiscally responsible budget for fiscal year 2015. Putting $1 million in reserves, something that hadn't been done in the city for a long time. And instead of being produced using the inefficient silos of each department, this budget aligned resources to meet our priorities. Looking forward, we will be focused even more so on our education initiatives, economic development opportunities, anti-poverty efforts, and of course, on reaching an agreement with the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, I figure I won't get any easy questions about the Rays today, so allow me to say this now. There is no timetable for renewed negotiations or for bringing something back to our city council. But I am committed to sitting down with the team president and hammering something out that will benefit and protect St. Petersburg's taxpayers. There is much more that has been accomplished and much, much more to be done, beginning with answering some of your questions. So I'll go ahead and we'll start now.
Let me just remind you of the rules. Only members and young tigers, people with badge. You have 45 seconds to frame your question. Please wait for Chandra to come around with the microphone and state your name.
Wait, she's coming. Hold on, buddy.
Beverly Midland. I want to know, with the boom in the building that's going on downtown, what is the city providing for parking? We can't park now. What's going to be?
You know, and when it comes to the growth of the city in infrastructure, in my mind, it's one of the things that we really have to pay very close attention to and how we go forward. And not just in the downtown area, but I'm happy to say we're experiencing some of the same challenges in the Edge District now and in Grand Central. And that's a good problem to have. But nevertheless, it's one that we're going to have to deal with. So we are going to be undertaking a parking study to take a look at where we would be best served in locating more parking resources. I do want to encourage people to utilize our parking garages, which, if you've been to any other cities around the country, are a huge bargain. What we charge for parking compared to what a lot of other cities charge is mind-blowing. And a lot of those parking garages are empty. And the reason they're empty is because we are very accustomed in the city to driving up to the place we want to go, getting out of our cars and walking in the door. But as we've grown as a city, as businesses have become more successful, as there are more and more places that people want to go to, it's harder and harder to do that now than it used to be. And it may require people to do something we're not used to doing here in St. Petersburg. Walk. Which is a good thing. But we are going to take it very seriously. I think that parking study is very important for us in identifying the locations that we need to put more parking resources. So look for that to be happening in this next year.
Scott Myers, St. Petersburg. Mr. Mayor, you are well known and admired for your training expertise with Southeastern Guidebuilders. Recently, you had a little bit of difficulty in the housebreaking of city council. And a very important quote. I'd just like to know what kind of techniques you're going to utilize to get them boarded.
Wow. Well, first off, let me say this. I view city council as a partner and city government as a team. And my administration can't work if we're not partnering and working well with city council. I feel very fortunate to have an incredible city council. I think this is probably one of the most progressive councils that we've had in years. And the opportunity to work with them is something that I relish and I'm very happy to have. And I think we have incredible opportunities together to move the city forward. So, there isn't any training. These guys, the men and women that serve us and serve us very well, I think are very good at their jobs. They're very dedicated and committed. I think their hearts are in the right place. And I look forward to continuing to work with them as we try and tackle some of the big issues. Now, we're not always going to see eye to eye on everything, and that's okay. I think government works best when there's good dialogue and when there is debate. And if they agreed with me on everything, I think everybody would be worried, and I'd be worried. It's just how we do it and how we handle it, and hopefully we all handle it respectfully and professionally and don't take it personally. And if you lose a vote, if I lose a vote, we move on and move to the next one and come back and try and do it again. But I look forward to working with this council. Speaking of that, I'll go ahead and recognize one of them.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. Councilman Lee. After the race vote, you were very critical of the leadership of the council members, myself included, that voted against that MOU. Did you really council was going to approve that MOU, giving away $200 to $300 million in economic impact to the city, thousands of jobs, our development rights on 89 acres, and ultimately our community.
So let me answer that question as best I can. My concern that I had and the comments that I made after the meeting regarding council was, and I served on council for 6 years, the biggest concern I have is there seems to be, everything seems to get sent not only to committee, but then to committees of the whole and to workshops, and instead of going through the process where a committee will hear something, for example, and then they make the recommendation on that piece of legislation to the full council, who votes it up or down, as opposed to then recommending it go to a workshop or to a committee of the whole. Likewise, I see it seems like every council member shows up to every committee meeting, which doesn't seem to be efficient, an efficient use of your time or the process's time. The way it was, at least when I served, was when we served on a committee, we trusted our colleagues. And only if we had a particular issue with something that came forward out of that committee did we then raise it at that council meeting. But we didn't all go to every single meeting of each and every committee, and that seems to happen a lot. So those were where my comments were coming from. Obviously, you and I have a different opinion on this agreement, and that's okay. And that's exactly what I was talking about before. That's the way the process works. And sometimes I'll be on the winning side, and sometimes I'll be on the losing side. But what I appreciate is that despite that, you and I have continued to meet, we've continued to talk and work together toward the common good of the city, and really that's what it's all about, and that's the way it should work. All the way in the back. Sorry about that, Sean.
Hal Friedman, St. Petersburg. I have a question. In the spirit of full disclosure, I was very, very pro-life, as you know. What action will you take if, after all the selection process is completed, another well-heeled group steps forward, does a petition run, gets it on a referendum, and it loses again?
Well, first off, that's making an assumption that that's going to happen, and I'm not going to own that assumption because I don't think it's going to. We tried to do a process going forward on this peer process that was different than the last time. And what we did right from the beginning is when I came up with an idea of how to make this process, what this process would look like, I brought in people that were pro-lens. I brought in people that were anti-lens, that were pro-peer, that were anti-peer, that really didn't care about the peer. I tried to bring everybody in and say, all right, let's design a process that's fair, and it gets us to where we want, which is to have a new pier, whatever that is, whether it's a renovated pier or a brand new one. Then the next thing we did was we said, all right, we need to make sure that we know what we want it to do. So let's make sure we're very clear on what we want it to do, and let's communicate that very clearly with the architects so that when they're doing their designs, they're not just doing something iconic and then trying to figure out how do we make it do what the public wants it to do. It does what the public wants it to do on the front end. And they've done that. And I think we've got 8 designs that are really interesting. And I must confess, I said this before, you heard me say this a year ago, I never was a big fan of renovating the existing pier. I won't say which one, but I do like one of the designs, one or two of them actually, that do renovate the existing pier. And I'm even surprised by that. I wasn't expecting that. So I'm real excited about this process. We're going to have the public have the opportunity to weigh in and not just make one selection, but choose their 3 favorite ones. And my feeling is as long as we follow that process, everyone that weighed in the last time, that was either for it or against it, for the old pier or against the old pier, that said this was a fair process, as long as we follow that process and we don't do anything to ruin that process, they shouldn't have a complaint, because just the fact that you personally didn't like it doesn't mean it shouldn't go forward, because we're not going to make everybody happy. We recognize that. But hopefully the majority of the citizens are going to be happy with what we have there. Yes, ma'am. Sorry, Sean.
Hi, I'm Trina Chiavacci, and I've lived downtown for 9 years. I've been in a livable, walkable downtown, and I want to understand if you're working with the community, is it cheap to help Williams Park like Chicago?
Yeah, first off, Chief Holloway, I think, is an amazing guy, and I think he's doing an amazing job with our police department. And, you know, I always said I wanted the men and women of St. PD to have the best chief so we could return to that prominence that we once had and be the best department, not only in the state of Florida, but nationally. And I think we're on our way there. We are focusing on Williams Park, but we're trying to focus in on the underlying problems of what you see out at Williams Park dealing with homelessness. And we increased our funding substantially, both to Safe Harbor and also to the St. Vincent de Paul program. We've got some training that's going on with our police officers and the chief who's working with them and how we're dealing with our homeless population. In fact, a letter just went out today signed by myself and Mayor Credicus from Clearwater, encouraging all the mayors in Pinellas County, because this isn't just a St. Pete issue. Homelessness is a countywide, it's actually a national issue, but from our standpoint of our county, it's all the cities in our county. We're all dealing with it. And it isn't just the counties. It shouldn't be just the county's problem. We all have to be players in this. So we're asking all the other cities to step up their efforts and step up their resources to help us deal with homelessness in a long-term solution, not just short-term fixes. So, but we're also looking at trying to move PSTA's bus station to another location, because I think that'll help also. Dave.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to give you an opportunity to comment in light of what happened in France the other day and the fact that we do have the Southern Command across the bay. What kind of condition are we in St. Petersburg in the Bay Area as far as a level of threat and what our department is doing to protect us in this terrorist-threatening area? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. What I can say is that our chief and our department work very closely with the county and with state and federal agencies to make sure that we are safe. You know, some might view having SOCOM across the bay as putting us more at risk. I kind of view that as making us even safer, because the men and women who serve us so well and so honorably, you know, they are more attuned to what's going on and any threats, and they're right in our backyard. So if there are threats, we're going to know it sooner than anyone else. So I kind of look at that as a benefit, and I'm very confident in our men and women who serve us, keeping us safe, both in St. Pete PD and the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office and in the federal government.
There's been a real increase in gun violence, both citizen to citizen and citizen to police, and you are members of the mayor's committee on gun violence. So what is that committee doing and what's being done here?
Yeah, I did sign on. One of the first things I did was sign on to the Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Mayors Against Illegal Guns. You know, I believe in people's Second Amendment rights. And the right to own a gun. I know a lot of people who own guns very safely, but having said that, I am very concerned about gun violence in my city. And I'm extremely frustrated, and I don't remember if Commissioner Long was up with me when this particular bill passed or not, but the legislature has really tied my hands along with the hands of every other local elected official in the state of Florida at addressing the needs of their community. Now, the needs of St. Petersburg are very different than the needs of Lake Worth or the needs of any other city, Umatilla or whatever, in the state of Florida. We have gun violence in St. Pete, but I cannot, nor can my council, pass or any legislation that restricts in any manner gun ownership or the sale of anything related to guns. If we try to, we can be removed from office and criminally charged, and that is state law. So in working with this organization, who knows that we have those restrictions here in Florida, we are looking at what can we do within the confines of the law, legislatively, if there is anything, and if not, what steps can we take, and certainly education is a big part of it. communicating about gun safety, but getting our kids educated about the dangers of guns and giving them a future to a job, that'll make a big difference too. Other questions? All the way in the back. I'm doing that to you purposely.
Michelle Sear, AARP. Many of the residents here in St. Petersburg are baby boomers, and many of the people in this room have already asked questions about the walkability and parking. What are your plans for the future growth of St. Petersburg so that it's a place where everyone of all ages can live comfortably?
That's a great question, and you hit on a subject that's near and dear to my heart, pedestrian and bicycle safety in particular, making the city more walkable, more livable, more rideable. It was something I focused on when I was on city council. It's something I focused on when I served in the state house. And in this job, it's really fun because I can actually do things and have an impact on making the city safer for bicyclists and pedestrians. So there's a number of ideas that we have that we're going to be talking and working through both with council and with my staff on trying to make the city safer. From an engineering standpoint, there are things that we can do to make our roadways safer for bicyclists and pedestrians, and we're going to be looking to do some of those things, continuing our partnership with the county to expand the trail, looking for grant funding to continue to expand the Pinellas Trail and make sure that it remains safe and it's a place that people want to ride their bicycles, looking at our building codes and trying to make sure our designs are those that make it easier for people to walk from business to business and safer. I see great opportunities along Central Avenue, for example, and we've been working with the county on some funding for Central Avenue that's going to be coming forward in the next couple years to do significant enhancements to Central Avenue, particularly out west, where if you've been out in West St. Petersburg, especially down around Park Street, you know that there's like no sidewalks, and where they are, there's you're just driveways, so it's very dangerous. So that is something that is a real significant focus. I think it's a big part of the quality of life of the city, and it's something I'm very interested in. Let's see. The young lady back there.
Willie Radowski. We're a city of the arts. What are you going to be doing to increase our visibility, our funding, and all that, so that we maintain and increase the amount of art tourism we're getting to town?
And great question. We are a city of the arts. I think it's what really distinguishes us from pretty much every other city, not only in the state of Florida, but in the United States. And we increased the budget this year, and then council also added to that increase that we had done. I brought in Wayne Atherholt to be my cultural affairs director. And for those of you who know Wayne, he's been involved in the arts community for a very, very long time in this city. And we are already discussing different things that we can do to program, not just from a programmatic standpoint, but ways of increasing funding for the arts, because we know that when you invest in the arts, the return on investment is significant. We also know it goes to quality of life, which impacts our ability for economic development efforts. I said before during the campaign, and I'll say it over and over again until I leave office, I want to see public art, not just in the downtown core, but in the entire city, in all areas of the city. If we're truly going to be a city of opportunity where the sun shines on all, that means that the art should also shine on all, no matter where they live, not just in downtown. So we want to continue to see development of the arts in South St. Pete and West St. Pete, whether it's the St. Pete Little Theater or Free Fall Theater, public arts all around. So it's a main focus, and I'm really pleased to have Wayne on board working with our team now on that issue. I have a young tiger here. And you notice it's not my daughter because she knows she couldn't come home otherwise.
Hi, Alex. Would you consider a proposal in which the Rays agreed to invest in the future of our pier in exchange for a leniency in the breach of their contract for Charlie Daniel?
Well, let me say this about, because When it comes to the pier, and it's kind of there's kind of two parts to that question. Certainly, we're going to continue to discuss and have discussions with the Rays because I do believe St. Petersburg is the best place for them to be. I do believe that even if given the opportunity to look in Pinellas and Hillsborough County, they're going to determine that St. Petersburg is the best place for them to be. I'm absolutely convinced of that. But when it comes to the pier, one of the things we try to be very clear on is even if there may be outside resources that potentially are available, we can't make our decision on our choices based on something that potentially is. We have to make it based on what we know we have. And so what we've asked each of the 8 architectural firms is to give us designs within the budget. If their design can't be built within the budget that we have, then it's going to be eliminated. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't say, all right, public, this is what you have to choose from. There are some other things we think can be done if there are additional resources. But when we come to make our decision, we can't rely on those additional resources that we don't know might not exist. That's not fiscally sound, I don't believe. So I don't want to go forward with the pier on the hopes that the Rays might kick in or some other benefactor might kick in. We have to go forward with what we know we have. And then after that point, we can go to the Rays and talk about what additionally they could potentially do for us or any other benefactor that might want to give some additional resources to that structure.
Yes. Mark, you brought up about having the public involved for the pier, yet the presentations are going to be in the middle of the day, 10 to 2, at the Coliseum. And the people who have office hours aren't going to be able to be there. So it doesn't seem like you really want that much involved.
The presentations that are going to be made, the public will have an opportunity, if they're able to attend, to weigh in at the end of the presentations. But really, the main point that the public's going to have opportunities to, first off, right now, if you go to the website, the city's website, and you go to where the information on the pier is, I've had people tell me that it was almost overwhelming how much information was on that site that they could read through to get all the details on all the different designs. You will have that opportunity to vote on your three favorite choices, not one, but your three favorite design choices. That's not something that you had the opportunity to do before. You also had the opportunity, again, even though we had gone through more than 50 meetings to talk about the functionality of it, we still held additional meetings to make sure people had the opportunity to weigh in on the functionality. Now, the actual design, what it looks like, we know that it's impossible for us to get every single person that thinks it's a great design. That's just not going to happen. It doesn't happen with art, and it's not going to happen with this design. But the fact that you're going to be able to weigh in and choose your three favorite is something that's significantly better than it previously existed. Linda.
This really is not a partisan... Linda Lerner. This really is not a partisan question, but you and I can be removed for violating the open records law. What do you think of Governor Scott's flagrant disregard of this law?
Well, you know, one of the things that both Commissioner Long and I learned about Tallahassee was that the rules seem to be different for the folks in Tallahassee than they are for all of us on the local level here, whether it's the gift laws or sunshine law or there's carve-outs for this or for that. That seems to happen a lot there. You know, I would hope that our ethics commission would apply the rules equally and fairly across the board to me, to anyone in my administration, to any of the other elected officials that serve the city, as they would and as they do to the governor or any of the legislators up there. Hopefully, as the paper said the other day, the speech was different. Maybe it's a new day. Let's all hope that these next 4 years are productive. Let me go there. I'll get you. Wait. Back there.
All right. I'm Perillo, downtown St. Petersburg. This is addressing Sleepless in St. Petersburg. Now, I know there's a noise ordinance. 11 o'clock, weekday nights, midnight, weekends, it doesn't work. Last weekend, we had Janice Landing, Janice Live, 2 o'clock, Friday, 2:30, 3:30, Saturday. Sometimes it's gory. Now, why is the noise ordinance not adhered
to? You know, one of the challenges I think that we face in the city as we grow and become more successful is that balance between vibrancy and community livability. And trying to find that balance where, you know, businesses can be vibrant, but at the same time not encroaching on people's ability to sleep and to live their lives. We are looking at our noise ordinance currently to see what we can do and what teeth we can add to it, because what we've seen seems to be that it's become a little bit of a cost of doing business with some businesses where they do get fined for violating the noise ordinance, but they look at it because of the amount of the fine as if it's a cost of doing business. So we are going to be looking at that and seeing what we can do within the confines that are placed on us by state law to strengthen the ordinance, to try and get businesses to be better partners and with the community, while at the same time allowing them to be successful and vibrant. So we are working on that. We recognize it's an issue. Again, it's one of those, I think, that no matter what we do, we're probably not going to make everybody happy, but we're going to do our darndest to try and make as many people happy as we can. Terry.
Happy New Year, Mr. First of all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry Bryant. Based upon the Times analysis of your administration thus far, the promises made, promises kept, promises broken, etc., and put you on the spot in front of your daughter, how would you grade yourself based upon our academic way of grading students?
I hope you're not going to ask me to use the state's grading guidelines. I don't know that anybody can figure those things out. you know, I think I've probably a B. I don't know that I'd say, and I don't think I'd say an A. I mean, there are things that we want to accomplish that haven't been yet. You know, that I have to tell you about an exercise that we did early that my deputy mayor was leading with us, where all of our department heads had a list of things they wanted to do. And we said, we want you to plan out for a three-year plan. So we had a timeline on a big wall, and we asked them all to take stickies and put it on the timeline. And everybody did it in the first couple months. They put all their stickies, because we all want to do things immediately. We want to get them done right away. And we had to step back and say, that's not realistic. As much as we want that to happen, we're setting ourselves up for failure if we do that, and disappointment, and we're setting the community up for failure, and we don't want to do that. We want to keep a positive outlook and positive momentum that we feel we're starting here. We want to keep that going. So we had everybody look back at the timeline and redo it. We have a lot of work to do still. I'm proud of what we've accomplished, but we have a lot of work to do still. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and kind of giving you a tease, and I'll talk about in my closing my state of the city. But one of my big goals for this year, and I say goal to the Tampa Bay Times, goal, that's not promise, it's goal. One of my goals is to bring at least one, because we got to start with one, business to South St. Petersburg. A major business, whether it's a Costco or a Bonefish Grill or something. We've got to start that in South St. Petersburg. We've got to break through that perception barrier. And once we do, I think the floodgates are going to open, because the development opportunities in the Skyway Marina District and in all of South St. Petersburg are huge and really exciting.
That's me. I think you're grade yourself low, I think I'll give you a B plus. I think you're doing a pretty good job. My question is economic development. I want to talk about your trade mission the first week of December, where you went in Chile with about, I think it was about a 5-county region. Could you talk about the takeaways and success of the city of St. Petersburg on the Chile trade mission?
Yeah, thank you. And let me first say that starting Monday, we have a new Development Services Administrator, or our Economic Development Leader, that's starting, Alan Delisle. He's from Durham, North Carolina. He led their economic development efforts and then was the Downtown Partnership CEO in Louisville for a while. I'm really excited about him coming on board. He brings a huge amount of energy to the position. I think he's going to make a big difference. And I was honored to go on the trip with Kelly Kirshner from Eckerd College. It was really historic because I don't think it's ever happened that the mayor of St. Pete and Tampa, a county commissioner from Pinellas County and Hillsborough County, the EDC directors from Hillsborough and Pinellas County, along with businesses from both of our counties, went on a trade mission together to talk about the strength of our region and all of the great things that our region offers to businesses worldwide. We had tremendous reception in Santiago. All of the businesses, I think all of them came back with agreements in hand. I think we've already figured somewhere around $9 million in economic development has already been generated as a result of that trip. We signed an accord with the mayor of Santiago, myself and Mayor Buckhorn, agreeing to cultural trades, tourism trades, economic development trade. So we're really excited about that. And to me, that's just the start. As I said before, I will go anywhere I have to go to bring business to this community. I don't care where it is. I want businesses coming here because I know if I can get them here, even just to visit St. Pete, they're going to fall in love with this city. They're going to want to move here, and they're going to want to open their business because they're in any better place to do business than right here. But we are really powerful when we're all working together as a region, when the city and the county can work together, and when the city and across the bay in Tampa, when we're working together, we're that much stronger. Last question. Uh-oh.
I'm Gregory Wilson. Welcome back, Your Honor. Glad to have you here. We have every reason to celebrate the livability of St. Petersburg. But recently, at a referendum, something that was designed to contribute to that livability passed. I was wondering if you would please reflect on how you think that impacts your goals for the livability of the city, and what you think you can do as the chief executive officer of the largest city in this county to bring about change.
And you're referring to Greenland, correct?
I was being coy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very disappointing, obviously. I was a very vocal supporter of Greenlight Pinellas. I think it was a huge opportunity that was missed. But I also think there were, obviously, you look in hindsight, and there were mistakes that were made along the way that probably contributed to the fact that it did not pass. I will tell you that the mayors of the largest cities in the state, myself, Mayor Buckhorn, Mayor Dyer, Mayor Brown, Mayor Seiler, and I'm blanking on the mayor of Hialeah, we all meet regularly, and a number of us have gone through this where a referendum like that passed in our cities but failed in the rural areas and around the county. And so we are talking about seeking the opportunity to potentially have that same taxing authority from the city standpoint that the county has. That's something we may be advocating for this legislative session. But having said that, we have to work with what we've got right now. And that means partnering with the county, partnering with PSTA, and looking at ways of making the service we have work as best as it can, looking for alternatives. Some of it goes to making the city more walkable and rideable because we're going to have to look for other forms of transportation to get people from place to place. But it is a concern, and I do feel it's unfortunate that it puts us in a little bit of a disadvantage from an economic development standpoint with other cities and other communities around the country who have good mass transit. So, do I have a chance for a closing? Oh, I don't get a closing? Really? Can I just say one thing if I don't get a closing?
No, it's all right. Since somebody told him he was going to have a closing, I'm going to let him.
I'll be quick.
I don't know who told him that. 1 minute.
The great staffer Mike Connors is here also. Now, what I wanted to say is I know some of you might have been expecting a State of the City address today. I know that's happened with prior administrations, but as I've said on many occasions, just because it's how we've always done things doesn't mean it's how we should do them or how we're going to do them going forward or that it's the best way to do it. Other big cities around the country and in our state do State of the City addresses. We are going to do one January 24th, 10 a.m., City Hall. It's going to be open to the entire community, not at a date and a time that people are working, but when everyone in the city can come forward and hear what we've done and what we plan on doing as we move forward. You're all invited. I hope you will all come, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
Mayor Rick Kreisman of the City of St. Petersburg has spoken
with our highly coveted
to the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club.
Sales carve up a politician for lunch. And if you would, please, this is my first time doing this. Pardon me. I want to remind you all of our next program, Wednesday, January 21st. Police Chief Tony Holloway, right here at the Yacht Club. And February 12th, Mark Woodard, I know his last name, our county administrator, will be here. If you would please present the tiger. And by the way, if anybody knows where we can get roaring tigers, please let us know, because we're running out. And our winner for the best question, the fang and claw question today, is Hal Friedman.
Oh. You've been listening to live coverage from the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club from the St. Pete Yacht Club in St. Petersburg, Florida, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Mayor Rick Kreisman, beginning his second year in office as the mayor of St. Petersburg, was our luncheon speaker today. RadioSt.Pete.com brings you live coverage of every Tiger Bay Club luncheon. Today's presentation and all the rest of them can be found in the RadioSt.Pete.com archive on our website and are shared by social media as well. If you'd like to receive a tweet or a Facebook opportunity to keep up with live event coverage on RadioSt.Pete.com, including the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club, just simply follow Radio St. Pete on Twitter or Facebook, and it will automatically happen. As you can hear, a large crowd in the Yacht Club ballroom this noon for the mayor's presentation. Radio St. Pete will bring you the next Tiger Bay Club luncheon on the 21st with our police chief and also the State of the City address of the mayor from City Hall on the 24th. Watch for the time when that particular presentation will take place. Live coverage of local events continues on RadioSt.Pete.com this evening as we head down to the St. Petersburg Museum of History in order to bring you the first in a series of presentations for 2015, Happy Hour with the Historian. And tonight's program, taking place shortly after 6:30 Eastern Time, will be Joy Sheffield Harris presenting a culinary history of Florida. Harris is a former history and home economics teacher. She previously worked for the Florida Department of Natural Resources and owned a restaurant, hosted a local TV show, The Joy of Homemaking, and has written two books. And she'll be speaking tonight at the Museum of History about the culinary history, the history of food in the state of Florida. You can hear it live on RadioSt.Pete.com shortly after 6:30 this evening. We hope you'll tune in. If you're unable to do that, you'll be able to find it in the archive later tomorrow. Well, as you're hearing on RadioSaintPete.com, we are only a little more than a week away from the 90th annual East-West Shrine Game at Tropicana Field. RadioSaintPete.com will be proud to be originating the national broadcast of this iconic game. In conjunction with our flagship station here locally, 620 WDAE, we will be bringing the broadcast across the country on numerous radio stations in numerous cities across the country. We're proud to be teaming up with Yahoo Sports Radio in order to accomplish that. And we'll be posting where the game can be heard around the country on over-the-air radio, so perhaps your friends and relatives will tune in to hear about Shriners Hospitals for Children, hear the game, and hear about what a wonderful place St. Pete and Pinellas County is. That game will be next Saturday, a week from Saturday, the 17th of January at Tropicana Field. Kickoff is at 4:07 Eastern Time. We'll be on the air at 3:15 for the pregame show with Patrick Keenis, Brian Jordan, and Rick Berkey returning for their fourth year. In addition to over-the-air radio, the East-West Shrine Game will be heard on Sirius XM this year for the first time, including Sirius XM's NFL Channel 88. And the broadcast will begin on Sirius XM Channel 88 at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, a few minutes before opening kickoff. You can also hear the game on ShrineGame.com, the website for the Shrine Game, as well as on the very popular TuneIn app for smartphones and mobile devices on our East-West Shrine Game channel. And, of course, you can hear the game right here at RadioSaintPete.com. Proud to bring you the East-West Shrine Game on radio in conjunction with Play-by-Play Sports Properties, our parent company. If you are listening here in the immediate area, however, we strongly encourage you to come to the game. It is a tremendous opportunity to bring your friends and family. Tickets are all general admission. They only cost $15. It's a steal. You're going to see 110 of the best college football players in America playing their hearts out for their dream, the National Football League. This game is played as a showcase for National Football League scouts and coaches and is a major showcase prior to the combine and the professional football draft. You're invited to attend the practices. If you live here in the local Tampa Bay area, they are free and open to the public at Shorecrest Prep and at St. Pete High School. You can find a schedule of the practice times this coming week on ShrineGame.com, the website. You can buy your tickets to the 90th annual East-West Shrine Game Saturday, January 17th at Tropicana Field online at ShrineGame.com, or you can buy them at the door at Tropicana Field on January 17th. But please come out. Proceeds from this game benefit the 22 Shriners Hospitals for Children across the United States, Canada, and Mexico. The first event that will take place in the Shrine Game Week will be Sunday over in Tampa at Shriners Hospital in Tampa. That's on the campus of the University of South Florida. And the players will arrive at the Tradewinds Resort on Saturday. They will head over for several hours at Shriners Hospital to meet and play with the kids. There will be a brief presentation there with the coaches and game officials and the leadership of Shriners International. That will get underway at 1:30 Eastern Time on Sunday, and you'll hear it live on RadioSaintPete.com. So if you're in the area, make plans to come out to the game, support Shriners Hospitals for Children, enjoy a great football game at Tropicana Field. If you're listening outside the area, find us on the East-West Shrine Game Radio Network, Sirius XM, NFL Channel 88, on ShrineGame.com, on the TuneIn app, or on a station in your local area. Here in the Tampa Bay area, again over the air, we're at 620 WDAE Tampa Bay Sports Radio. So that'll wrap it up today from the St. Pete Yacht Club. Join us tonight when we are at the St. Petersburg Museum of History for a happy hour with the historian. That will be live here on RadioSt.Pete.com. In the meantime, Joe Bordeaux thanking you for listening. We return you now to our studio.
1925, the best of the East and the West come together to help kids. For 90 years, the country's best college football players have met head-on for a thrilling all-star game benefiting Shriners Hospitals for Children. 90 games helping more than a million kids with orthopedic conditions, burns, spinal cord injuries, and cleft lip and palate. Be part of the action at the 90th anniversary East-West Shrine Game, Saturday, January 17th at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg. Get tickets now at ShrineGame.com. It's more than just a game.